Hello there. I am Henry Schulman, the Giants beat reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle.
And I'm Susan Slusser, the A's beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle.
And we are doing another joint A's Plus Giants Double Play podcast. You guys enjoyed those so much during the winter meetings. And today we're going to talk about the five questions for each team, the Giants and A's, going into spring training, and we'll try to answer them right after this. Hello, we are back for this joint A's Plus Giants Double Play podcast. I'm Henry Schulman, the Giants beat reporter. Susan Slusser, the A's beat reporter, is here as well. And each year, if you read the paper for a long time, you know that spring training is around the corner, so it's time for us to ask the five key questions for each team going into spring training. We'll have a story on this in the paper, but we want to give you a little bit of a head start. And what we're going to do is Susan and I are going to ask each other the five key questions for the teams that each other covers, and we'll try and give you a little bit of a sense of what the answers might be. And we're going to do this countdown style because that seems to be very popular in radio and podcasting and whatnot. So let's get right to it. We will start with the number five question for the A's going into spring training. And that question is, Susan, what is up with the catcher spot?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. So this is going to be a short, really short podcast. So, well, you know, the A's failed to re-sign Jonathan Lucroy, who got a very reasonable contract from the Angels, but they'd still like an everyday catcher. I'm not quite sure how they're going to find one for less than about $2.6 million. Matt Wieters is on their radar. There are a few other guys out there. None of them are really too exciting. What they need is either a left-handed hitting option or, like Wieters, a switch hitter. So he's probably the top of the heap for now. Last year, remember, the A's did not sign a catcher until they did not sign Lucroy until mid-March when they realized that Bruce Maxwell was not going to be the answer. So this could be very much a TBA situation, but I cannot imagine the A's going to the regular season with Josh Fegley and Chris Herman as their two catchers. So that is something we will continue to keep an eye on.
Great.
So this brings me to our first Giants question, number five. Counting backwards, is there another Derek Rodriguez in the Giants system ready to surprise in 2019?
That's what the Giants need. Bruce Bochy always says that if you're going to win, you need your regulars to come through and you need a couple of surprises. And Derek Rodriguez and to a lesser extent Andrew Suarez both surprised last year when the Giants needed help in the rotation. But Rodriguez sort of established himself as a guy who could be maybe a number three or a number two type starter. The problem is that if you look at the top of the Giants farm system, they really don't have anyone you can look at right now and go, okay, this guy really has a chance to come up this year and do something, at least players that the Giants know. One thing that Farhan Zaidie has done since he came on board is he's picked up a lot of I guess you'd call them 4A players or discards from other organizations whom he believes could come up and make an impression. And one of them is an outfielder named Drew Ferguson, who was in the Astros system for a long time. You have a reliever named Kieran Lovegrove, a South African. Henry Ramos, who we'll talk about a little bit later in another question, the brother of Elliot Ramos. So I guess a surprise means a surprise. So right now, some teams do not have that guy you say, you know what, like a Vladimir Guerrero Jr., this guy's going to come up in May and he's just going to tear the cover off the ball. So we'll have to see. And I think we'll find out maybe in spring training who the candidates are. And we'll now go to Susan with a pitching question. Number four, I guess I could ask this about the Giants as well, but that's not one of my questions. Number four, Susan, will the A's be using an opener this year? And if so, how much?
Well, this is many of the A's questions are centered around the rotation because they're going into the spring. There's so many question marks. And this is one of the biggies. The David Forst has indicated the A's are very open to using an opener again, as they did most of September and notably in the wild card game with mixed results. I think they were 4-5 in the regular season games they used an opener, and of course they lost that wild card game to the Yankees. The spring is a good time to experiment with it, right? The A's spring is strange because they're going to Japan. That cuts it short about a week. I'm not sure how you use an opener and then have the starters who need to get their innings in come in second. Do you schedule a lot of B-League games? Do you send guys over to minor league camp to try out opening? But I have a feeling that we will see some A's relievers run through kind of a little bit of a circuit to see who maybe is good at it. I think Andrew Triggs probably is in the mix for it, along with Liam Hendricks, who did such a nice job last year, and probably several others. But, you know, really the issue with using an opener, the A's have virtually no one in the rotation right now except for Mike Fiers and Marco Estrada. But you really can't use three openers a week. You need a bigger roster to be able to do that. You can maybe do it twice a week at a push. So it is something they're going to do. I just don't know how much, given roster limitations. They'd really have to use like a 17-man pitching staff and go with like maybe Chad Pinder as their backup catcher and everything else. So I don't really see it.
17-man pitching staff sounds great.
Yeah, I think that probably is the way the A's would certainly like to go, along with several other teams. So let's look at what the Giants' number four question is, and that is, who will man the outfield on opening day? I'm actually very interested in this answer.
Manny, Mo, and Jack. And if you're too young to understand that reference, ask your grandfather. That's, you know, one of our editors, before we came down to tape this podcast, one of our editors was working on a chart, and he said, hey, could you come over here and tell me who the left fielder, center fielder, and right fielder are going to be? And I gave him the old Jackie Gleason, homina, 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 homina. Right now, the Giants do not have an outfield. I mean, they just do not have an outfield. And this is the latest developing market. There are still plenty of outfielders out there. I was at Peter McGowan's memorial service the other day, and one of the front office types, you know, he asked me when I was going to spring training, and I said, well, I'm going to get there on Monday. And he said, well, hopefully we'll have an outfielder for you by then. So I think the answer to this question is going to change. And at the moment, they just don't have a lot of outfielders on their roster, and they have practically none with major league experience. But I had to give my editor an answer. So I told him Austin Slater in left field, Steven Duggar in center field, and Mack Williamson in right field, assuming Mack comes back from his concussion okay. But that is not what the opening day outfield is going to be like, at least if the Giants want to sell any tickets. And it's nothing against those three guys. But, you know, they need some heft to their lineup, and that's where they need to get the heft. So that's going to be one of those questions that truly is ongoing as the spring progresses.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, I might be a 15-inch feature for me if they sign him.
Yeah, that probably not big news. Hey, Adam Jones, there are a lot of nice outfielders
I mean,
still
Adam
out there.
Jones, but Carlos Gonzalez, Marwin Gonzalez, you know, he's a guy who can play anywhere.
He's a terrific player.
He's pretty perfect for what the Giants want. You know, there's a guy named Derek Dietrich out there who was mainly an infielder for the Marlins, but they moved him out to left field, and he was fine. So I think one of these guys the Giants are probably going to sign. I'm going to ask you about a young guy for the number three A's question going into spring training, and it's about Jesus Luzardo. Is he on the roster for the first few weeks of the season, or does the A's top prospect need more seasoning?
From everything I hear, the A's are pretty certain that Jesus Luzardo will be in the – I never know what to say. With the A's going to Japan to open the season, he probably wouldn't pitch in one of those first two games, which means he probably wouldn't pitch until maybe like the 6th, 7th, 8th game of the season. So opening week rotation, I'm not sure if that's actually accurate. I think he is in their initial rotation of whatever form it is. You know, who knows? Maybe they wind up using an opener twice and decide they want to manipulate some service time. The A's don't usually do that. They're not a team that cares that much about service time. You know, often, as you know, by the time players get expenses in arbitration, if the A's feel like they need to trade them, they will. So they don't care quite that much. And they have the need. And Jesus Luzardo is clearly one of the top prospects in baseball. He's left-handed. He's got 4-plus pitches. Every scout I talked to in the offseason when I wrote about him as a potential difference maker for this year said that Jesus Luzardo was ready to go right now in the big leagues, and some feel like he's got potential all-star stuff, certainly potential rookie of the year type stuff if he is pitching for the A's the bulk of this season. So I expect that we will see him quickly, but you know what? Going into last spring, I would have told you we'd see Jarrell Cotton and A.J. Puck in that rotation, and they both wind up going down with injuries. So there is no projecting pitching is what I've learned over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, the service type thing is interesting. The old administration with the Giants as well, you know, they cost themselves $10 million back in 2007 by bringing up Tim Lincecum like 8 days before they could have saved themselves an arbitration year. But their feeling was always, look, you know, when a guy's ready, a guy's ready. Now we'll see if the Giants do that under Farhan Zaidi.
Yeah, I'm not sure the A's would wait. If it was just 8 days, I think maybe they might decide to go ahead and wait the 8 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it's, you know, April versus June, I think that they would go for the April, especially given their need right now. You know, if they had four strong starters, maybe not, but they just don't. So we now move on to your next question, which is number three. Can the Giants get bounce back seasons from their veterans?
You know, I think everyone assumes that because the Giants offense has been so terrible, and I mean that the veterans have been so terrible, they all have these big immovable contracts, that they're all going to be terrible again in 2019. And I don't blame the fans for thinking that, because I mean, this is a show me business. But you have a bunch of guys coming back from, you know, one type of injury or another. You know, you have Jeff Samardzija, whose season was ruined. You know, even Madison Bumgarner, whose season, you know, started with him having a broken hand. You have Evan Longoria at third base, who just injury was a small part of his thing. But, you know, he had a bad first season with the Giants. And, of course, the big name in the list is Buster Posey, who, you know, he hit five home runs last year, all in the beginning of the season before he severely injured his hip. He's had the hip surgery now. And I think the Giants are counting on some of these guys actually bouncing back and playing the way that they were supposed to play, or maybe nearly the way they were supposed to play when they were acquired by the previous administration. And Farhan Zaidi, I don't know if he's just paying these guys lip service or whether he really believes it, but, you know, he called this a championship roster core just the other day. And I think that, you know, we talked about surprises with the Giants before. We were talking about surprises in terms of minor leaguers. But I think it would be a pleasant surprise for the Giants if Evan Longoria, instead of starting like 0 for 18 or whatever he did, comes out of the gate a little hot. If Jeff Samardzija's shoulder is okay and he can actually give them six innings, you know, if Mark Melancon, who actually looked decent at times toward the end, you know, there's another big bad contract. If he can come out and, you know, give them an inning every so often in the sixth or seventh inning, you know, to help the back end of the rotation, I think the Giants will benefit greatly. And, you know, whether they win a division because of that, I don't know, probably not. But it would make them a more interesting team. And, you know, I think right now that's what a lot of fans just want. They just want a more interesting team.
Amen to that.
Well, we'll now move to the number two question. So now we're really starting to get to the nitty-gritty here. Yes, I do use terms like nitty-gritty. I apologize. So the number two question for the A's going into spring training, what will the rotation look like?
Well, we've kind of touched on this. I mean, really, that's all the A's questions do center around this pitching issue. And I alluded a little bit to Mike Fiers, who the A's non-tendered and then brought back on a different contract, and Marco Estrada, who they signed to a one-year deal last week. It's really hard to say after that. Probably Jesus Luzardo, probably an opener, and then you got to pick him from a bunch of guys who maybe is Daniel Mingden the follower? He might be the follower. He did a very nice job doing that in September.
I have a lot of follower baseball cards.
Do you have a lot of followers?
That's my favorite.
I wonder if there will be a new stat of some sort for openers and followers, and if there will be some sort of actual terminology that winds up, like, nobody seems to agree on follower or second guy or whatever. Mingden was good in that role, so I suspect maybe he's in that role if they do have an opener. And then it winds up being Chris Bassett and Paul Blackburn, who's back from an injury. Andrew Triggs probably moves into relief and might be an opener. And a few other guys, that, like Aaron Brooks, is still back. The A's acquired him down the stretch last year, and he's probably in contention for a spot. Grant Holmes is back from a shoulder injury. So it's a little bit pick 'em. A pretty nice competition, I think. And then people always want to know how all the injured guys are doing. Blackburn is healthy. Triggs is healthy. James Caprillion probably wouldn't be considered for a spot on the major league roster because he hasn't pitched really in 2 years. But he's healthy after Tommy John surgery.
And he was the key in the Sonny Gray
trade. The Sonny Gray trade. Yeah. And he's a monster when healthy, everyone seems to agree. Tommy John surgery and then a shoulder surgery. I mean, not surgery, so shoulder injury. That's tough, and that's some red flags there when you wind up with a shoulder injury right after Tommy John. So he is good to go for the spring. I'm going to be very interested in seeing him. He's a guy that the A's could see on the major league roster at some point this year, but he's going to need some minor league time. A.J. Puck could be able to pitch in big league games by midseason. Jarrell Cotton maybe a little bit sooner, maybe even late May, something like that, after Tommy John surgery. Daniel Gossett probably out for the season. And I know I'm – there's so many injured guys. I know I'm probably forgetting a few in there, but I think the main thing the A's look at is they look at that group of injured players, especially the really good young guys, Holmes and Caprillion. Dalton Jeffries, a Cal guy, he's also coming off a Tommy John. He was in lockstep with Caprillion, so he's actually a little ahead of him because he didn't have any complications. They look at that as, you know, next year they really could be looking, if all those guys are healthy, they could be looking a heck of a really good young rotation. This year, I really don't know what to tell you after Fires and Estrada. It could be some openers and Lizardo and who knows.
Yeah, it could be just like an old-fashioned spring training where you go in there and the guys who play the best get the most innings.
Yeah.
And the most starts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a fluid situation. Mm-hmm. It will give me plenty to write about is, I think, the main thing. So for the Giants, here's one that I think will raise some eyebrows. Number two question for you, Henry. Will Madison Bumgarner be traded?
Yeah, I mean, 2-1. The first two questions for me were easy this year, but we'll start with Bumgarner at number two. And I think Bumgarner is going to be the opening day starter for the Giants. I don't think they're going to trade him in spring training. What we've seen in past years is that in the offseason, the market for starting pitchers, especially high-level starting pitchers, is not very strong, the trade market, because teams really kind of want to see what they have first in their own systems and on their rosters before they commit to giving away some high-level prospects. And in this case, I think they want to see what Bumgarner can do. I mean, Bumgarner's had two years shortened by injury. He really hasn't been Bumgarner of old for the last 2 years. And I think what the Giants probably will do is have Bumgarner start the season with them and hope he has a good year. And then hope that as we get toward the middle of the year, you get to the trade deadline time. And now you got a bunch of teams that are in contention, all kind of stepping over each other and competing and needing to get the that big guy for their rotation. You know, the Red Sox, the best thing for the Giants would be if the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros, and the Indians, and teams like that, although I think the Indians are kind of backing off a little bit, but teams like that all needing that one big starter, you get them in a bidding war. And you know what? If the Giants actually surprise some folks, if there's another year like last year where the National League West is really tepid and the Giants are only a few games out as they get to the trade deadline, and they, you know, they can honestly look in the mirror and say, if we can add, we might be able to compete. Maybe they hold on to Bumgarner for the rest of the year, try and get a qualifying offer as he goes into free agency and take the draft pick later on. But I feel fairly safe that Bumgarner's not going to be traded right now.
Well, that's fascinating. I mean, that's what an institution he is.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, you win three World Series championships and you be the hero like you did in 2014. It's awfully tough to trade a guy like that, but you know, I think fans are starting to expect that maybe Farhan Zaidi is not going to have that sort of emotional connection to him like the past administration.
You know, the A's need a starter or two, so.
Yeah, you know what? He has, I need to find out. He has eight teams on his, I think it's eight teams on his no trade list. I got to find out what they are and see if Oakland is one of them. But Jeff Samardzija can be traded to the A's. He agrees, so
yeah,
they might be able
he
to
liked
get
his
him.
Time in Oakland, and the A's love him. Yeah,
yeah. And,
I'd take Samardzija back in a second. What a great dude.
Yep.
Bob Melvin's a big fan. I think the front office is a big fan. So
let's
make this one happen.
What a great transition into the
Samardzija.
Number one question. Yeah, I'd like to say I thought of that transition, but I didn't. And this is a question, of course, that we have been asking and listening to you talk about for, you know, better part of 2 months now. Will Kyler Murray report on February 15th?
Well, he might be making a decision soon enough that maybe even by the time you're listening to this podcast, this question might be moot. So I think I'm probably going to have to write a substitute question to add to this for a later date, just in case. But yeah, the Kyler Murray question is really going into the spring. The number one, the certainly nationally, it's the biggest question about the A's. Will he or will he not? Heisman Trophy winner, coming off a lot of momentum for football. A lot of football people seem to feel like Kyler Murray's heading to play football and would probably not report to the A's on February 15th. My impression is he will either choose baseball and will report, or he will choose football and will not report. He's not going to report and then say like, oh, hey, pay me my signing bonus and then take off. It doesn't work like that. Anyway, you don't get paid for spring training. You get paid incrementally with your signing bonus. He would have to pay it all back if he chooses to go the NFL route. As you know, Henry, the A's retain his rights. We've discussed this before. So if he goes, if he winds up not getting drafted where he wants, presumably he can come back to the A's and say, how much of that signing bonus would you like to give me back? I think the A's want him enough that I think they would probably make it worth his while should he decide to change his mind at any point, you know, even if he gets drafted and you know, plays a year and doesn't like or the way things are going or anything. I think the A's would always welcome him back. You know, they've floated the idea of putting him on their 40-man roster. I think if he reports February 15th, I think pretty shortly after that, they would announce that they've got a new contract for him and he's on the 40-man roster. They've already said they'd planned for him to essentially spend the entire spring with them. I'm not sure if that includes maybe even the Japan trip. They can take some extra players. They can bring 28 with them. And then sort of declare healthy scratches like hockey. So they could do something like that. I think that he will have some potential future in baseball, even if he chooses football. But that's the one thing we are all looking at really, really carefully right now. And so, yeah, it is funny that you mentioned Samardzija, since he's one of the guys that chose baseball over football, and I think he would tell you he made the right decision.
I also think it's funny that both of us have one of our key questions is something that may not be a key question in a week, because you know, I'm saying who's going to man the outfield. You're saying is Kyler Murray going to report? And this is, you know, I mean, these questions can still are yet to be answered. You and I don't usually have like questions that are so open-ended going into spring training where we might even have to write some new questions ahead of time. I mean, if Murray is spotted in a, you know, in a Mesa cocktail lounge, I don't know if he drinks or not, but a Mesa establishment, we'll have our answer there. And, you know, similarly, the Giants could sign, you know, an outfielder or two in the next week, and,
yeah,
you know, we'll
same
have to
with
rewrite.
Catcher. I mean, a lot of the A's questions are things that could be decided, you know, within the next week or two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's all around baseball. The free agent market has really changed kind of the way business is done with baseball, with so many, you know, there are always a few guys who sign during spring training. There are always a few trades made during spring training. But I don't remember this big an inventory, particularly on the outfield and pitching side of it. It's pretty amazing. You know, the A's add a reliever yesterday, Jerry Blevins, an old friend, Jerry Blevins, who is very popular with the A's. That's a nice move for them. It was a minor league deal, but I would imagine he will make the big league roster. Bob Melvin's a big fan. Everyone with the A's remembers what he did with them before. And they really need a second lefty. But in past years, if they wanted a second lefty, they would have gone out and probably done something like that around the winter meetings. Do those dates need to be changed? Do they need to have the winter meetings more in January now?
I have one in Florida and one in Arizona, just the 3 days before spring training starts.
Who's left? Meetings.
Who's left winter meetings?
With Machado goes to the West Coast and Bryce Harper goes
around
to the East Coast.
Yeah,
or,
I think Machado wants to be on the East Coast and Harper wants to be on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's funny. And you know what? You and I had to take a different kind of tactic on our five questions, too. Certainly you this year. I always do it pretty much as spring training based, really, like what to look for during the spring training. Whereas this year, it's more like kind of a season thing. But I think with the Giants and given kind of what they're looking at, maybe that makes more sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I think the question, my number one question, which you're about to ask me, is a big sign of that. I mean, this
Oh, yeah.
Not,
do I still have to ask you a question?
You still have to ask me the question,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, darn it. Oh, this is a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big one. Number one on the hit parade.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Is this Bruce Bochy's final season as manager?
You know, this is the question I put number one because it's the number one question fans ask me all off season. And, you know, I tend to think this is going to be his last season. I mean, all the signs point toward it. He's got 1 year left on his contract. You got a new head of baseball operations who probably wants to bring in his own guy. things can always change. They could end up surprising, winning a lot of games. Zaidi and Bochy could get along real well, but, you know, you have some differences there. I mean, Zaidi is very much a new school general manager or baseball operations president, and Bruce Bochy has promised that he's open to the new ways of thinking, but, you know, he's going to have to change a lot. It's not just using an opener or pulling a guy after 80 pitches when he's throwing well, but even things like, Evan Longoria is 2-for-42 over the last 14 games, but Bochy's going to stick with him because he's the veteran. He's our guy. And you may have Farhan coming down into the manager's office and going, well, no, we're not going to stick with this guy. We're going to put Alan Hansen at third base for a few days, and that's what I want to do. And, oh, by the way, I think Alan Hansen should hit second, and I think you should take Buster Posey and move him down to third. And, we'll see. We might do one of those, like mood rings. You know, we can have a chart with a color of Bochy's face, and as the redder it gets, it'll be like a meter. The redder it gets, the more likely it is that he and Farhan are going to have a blow up. And
that would have been helpful for me with A's managers over the years.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be an ongoing thing, and it's also something that even in spring training, Bochy is going to be asked about it. You know how it is in spring training. I mean, we local writers ask our questions every day, and we move on from one topic to the next. But every day you have these national writers coming in from the big newspapers. There are a few left from the websites, and they're going to be in the manager's office, and they're all going to ask the same question. Hey, Boach, is this your last year? Thing is, he wants to keep managing. He's always said, you know, he's going to be 63 this year, but he's in good health after two heart operations. And he always says the same thing, which is, if I weren't managing and I were sitting home and you asked me what's the one thing I'd want to do, he wouldn't say hunting, he wouldn't say fishing, he'd say managing. And so that's going to be a fascinating dynamic as we go through the whole year.
Well, you know what, the Bochy thing, it wound up being a topic over in the A's side last year too, because you'll recall that Bob Melvin's contract ran through this year, and the A's last offseason denied him the opportunity to talk to the Yankees, but at that point did not extend his contract. There was a lot of thinking on the A's side, and I even heard on the Giants side from a few people that maybe if this was Bochy's last season this year, and if Melvin's contract was not extended, which obviously they had to do, he was the manager of the year, so he winds up with a new contract. But there was a lot of thinking in the A's side last year that Bob Melvin just might move over to the Giants side. Former Giant, Cal guy, and Bay Area guy. Go from the A's to the Giants, but now that's not an option anymore. But
No. And I don't know where Bochy, there's really few West Coast options for Bochy if he chooses to keep managing, and he probably won't have any options with teams that have any chance of winning anytime soon. So it's going to be Bochy this year, and it's going to be Melvin in the A side, and now Melvin has some security, and Bochy's got to manage for his job.
Boy, that's crazy. Well, all it takes is another Manager of the Year trophy, so go for that.
Yeah. Well, Susan, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this. I think maybe we ought to come up with 5 more questions. What do you think?
I think so. I think that next year we'll do 20 questions.
20 questions. but we will do at least one more joint A's Giants podcast before we head out to spring training. So, stay tuned, and we hope you enjoyed this one. Giants Double Play is part of the San Francisco Chronicle Podcast Network. Audrey Cooper is editor-in-chief. If you like this show, please subscribe, tell a friend, or give us a review. You can support Giants Double Play and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. You can find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe. If you want to find me on Twitter, I am at Hank Shulman, or you can email me at hshulman@sfchronicle.com.